Good evening, church. My name is Duncan Baird. I'm a member at Stirling Baptist Church. Very grateful for the opportunity to share with you tonight. This week saw the arrival of young Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. He is blissfully unaware of the coverage his birth has received and the family in which he's entered into. From a young age, he will be taught how he is expected to behave and will have lessons on the right way to hold oneself during official engagements. An enviable position, perhaps, to be born into. His life, however, will be subject to much scrutiny, press following his every move. Will he continue in what he has learned as a moldable young boy into his potentially rebellious adolescent years? Or will he be tempted to follow in his father's footsteps and make some dubious decisions for all the world to see? Tonight's passage from 2 Timothy is part of a letter from a father-like figure to a dear son, encouraging him to keep going in the way he's been brought up. He didn't have the benefit of etiquette classes or a place at Eton, but he did have a mother and a grandmother, determined to teach him scriptures from an early age. So the passage, if you've got your Bibles, is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read from 10 to 17, but I'd like to focus on 14 and 15, if I may. So 2 Timothy 3, starting at 10. It's titled, Paul's Charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for training, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is Paul's final letter of the New Testament, a final word of caution and encouragement to his protege, Timothy. It's most likely Paul's last correspondence to anyone, but almost certainly his last to his dear son, Timothy. As towards the end of the book, he claims to have fought the good fight and finished the race. His umpteenth spell in prison has perhaps taken its toll. This letter is to a young man he has poured his life into and yearns to see him fulfill his potential and continue in what he's tried to pass on to him. Paul leaves him with a glimpse into the future, or perhaps what he can already see happening. And it's a frightful scene, as we can see in chapter 3, 1 to 5, which says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them, Paul says. Verse 14 starts with, but as for you, Timothy is to be different, not to be swayed or tempted. Paul talks of it being in the last days, but it's a picture that has probably spanned the generations and could certainly be describing the world we find ourselves in today. I imagine this letter is similar to parents dropping off their children at university for the first time. They know fine well the temptations that are out there, but don't have the same watchful eye that they have had growing up to gently guide them in the right direction. Paul goes on and tries to plant a last reminder of the good training he's had from his mother and grandmother in young Timothy's mind. Now, I'm not an avid film watcher or sci-fi nerd, but I'm aware there's a film out just now which involves an assembly of people known as the Avengers. I've not seen it, but it's full of superheroes and characters with genetic mutations, which give them different abilities. One that you may have heard of is the Incredible Hulk, who transforms from scientist Bruce Banner when something irritates him. These characters often grew up knowing that they were made to be different, to stand out. They're not just to go along with the crowd. Timothy is no superhero, though. He is a human being capable of falling into the same temptations. But Paul still reminds him there is to be something different about him and the way he lives. And he goes on to explain how he is to live and why he is to live differently. Paul carries on, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Timothy has learned scriptures from a young age, as it mentions in the passage, taught by his mother and grandma, and later on by Paul. He only became convinced of it when a missionary, possibly Paul, possibly someone before Paul's visit to his hometown. Here he heard that the God he learned about in the Old Testament growing up had died for him through Jesus. The knowledge which he had, he could probably reel off passage after passage. It was possibly only head knowledge. When he became convinced of it, something changed. And because of that change, his life would be changed. His convincing had led to a conviction. What you learn informs your life. It allows you to make sense of situations, make educated decisions, helps you in quizzes. It's coming up to 10 years since I left around 16 years of continuous formal education, and reflecting on it, I would say it's been a worthwhile venture. I'm no rocket scientist or highly regarded theologian. I sometimes still need a calculator for even the simplest of sums. My list of completed books is embarrassingly short. I questioned the need for Pythagoras' theorem when I was struggling to understand it at school, and still hold firm to the belief that part of the maths curriculum should be about budgeting and taxes instead. But there are a couple things that I've learned that have stayed with me. In primary three, I remember doing a quiz and answering the question, what animal does venison come from, with lion. I now know it's a deer. I was in primary three. I learned in primary one that it is wrong to pull the chair from under a young lady. Not only is it not gentlemanly, but it can cause injury to the eye as it catches on the corner of said chair. I learned in high school that asking a girl to dance is the most horrific experience of your life. And I also learned that, and it may not be completely true or proven, but it sounds interesting, so I'll go for it anyway. It's kind of science, say biology. So our energy comes from ATP, which is adenosine triphosphate. Thank you very much. When you use energy, a molecule of phosphate breaks away, leaving adenine diphosphate, leaving two molecules while the other goes away and creates lactic acid, which makes your legs tired, unless you're Michael Wright, of course. If your body was able to take that phosphate molecule and reattach it to the adenine diphosphate, we would pretty much live forever, or not at least need oxygen. Now, if you're a doctor or scientist and that is completely wrong, please come and tell me, because I've been telling a lot of people that. What you learn informs your life. The knowledge is a test taken by London taxi drivers who need to learn 320 different routes within a 6-mile radius of Charing Cross. Knowing it is fine, but it's only when you have a purpose or destination that it becomes really useful. What you become convinced of directs your life. Timothy had become convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, and the life he lived was worth trying to emulate, the death he died worth telling people about. Paul calls on Timothy to continue in the truths that he's been taught as a young lad, the truths that the society around him were trying to move away from, perhaps truths that the people in his own church were moving away from and putting pressure on him to do the same. But as for you, says Paul to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Continue to remember the things we learned when going through persecution. Continue to remember the passages of Holy Scriptures that your mum read to you night after night, hoping that they would stay with you somehow. Remember to continue in the truths that the world just now are saying are nonsense. And those same truths that he read, the world is still saying are nonsense and old-fashioned. Verse 13 in the passage, here's what happens if you don't. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. George Orwell, author of 1984, commented, "In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act." Paul says, "Continue in what you know is right." At one time, it was widely accepted and easy to go with, but now it may be considered revolutionary. We live in a world where new truths are being created and manufactured. The truths we have grown up with, the society is trying to convince us, are no longer true. But the Bible says, continue in them. The truth does not stop being the truth just because some people ignore it. Paul says, continue in what you've learned, but also continue to be convinced of it. Jesus doesn't want to rely purely on past experience. That's when conviction dwindles. Put yourselves in situations that require you to be convinced of God's presence in your life. Paul goes on to say, because of those who taught you. We all have people that we are more likely to listen to, teachers that we respect and want to learn from. After uni, I went in a course to gain a personal training qualification. There were two teachers on this course. One had two sports science degrees, a six-pack, and had recently been on trials for the Olympic cycling team. The other was slightly rotund and could be seen smoking during water breaks. It doesn't require a genius to figure out which one I went to with any questions on course content. The character of the teacher often decides the level in which we trust what is being taught. What was the major reason that Paul suggests Timothy was convinced of the things he had learned from this passage? By well-thought out apologetic arguments? By wonderfully crafted and eloquent sermons? No, it's because of those whom he'd learned it. By the lives lived by those who have taught him. He has seen the teachers back up their teaching. Paul commends the lives of Lois and Eunice, his family. A quality of witness he could trust, which makes them a reliable source. That is what has helped convince him. Another thing I remember learning in school was sources in history. You have primary and secondary sources, and one of the major points about sources is whether they were reliable or not. The source of Timothy's teaching was his mother in infancy and Paul as he grew older. Look at the examples of those who taught you. Look at their lives. Watch them live. Paul is confident in the example he sets before Timothy. In verse 10, he says, "You know about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings." A popular trend in television these days is to follow celebrities around, watching them carry out their everyday life, or put people in a house, fill it with cameras, and watch them interact with each other. Editors and producers decide what parts they want to show. Timothy's encounters with Paul were not squeezed into hourly highlight reels, but Timothy sees Paul's at his worst as he travels with him and lives with him, sees him suffer persecution in the most horrendous of ways. There's a saying that if you want to find out a man's real character, go with him on a round of golf. It's very true. People are very different when the little white ball doesn't go where it's supposed to. But Paul has confidence that his example directs Timothy to Jesus. Would I have the same confidence? I can maybe do it for an hour or so on a Sunday, but would I want my interactions throughout the week broadcast and watched by someone else? Not always. Timothy tried to imitate Paul as he attempted to imitate Christ. Now, there are people in this church that I try to imitate. They probably have no idea I'm watching them or even who I am. But for example, there's an older gentleman that every time he sings worship, I sometimes just watch myself watching him worship. I want to resemble something of the way he praises God. There's those who commit to serving behind the scenes or in ministries that would find very difficult to. If we're to use the Gooding axis, copyright pending, they would be the ones on the unseen axis, never looking for acknowledgement or praise. I try to imitate their humility and servant-heartedness. Or when someone is able to unpack a Bible passage differently, it always inspires me to try to do that. It can be the simplest things like the way someone is able to hold a conversation or start a conversation or pray or hear from God. If someone's example leads you to Jesus, it is worth following. Find people that challenge the way you live by the way they live. Get to know them, learn from them. Do life is a wonderfully cringy phrase we use in church, but get a Paul and maybe be a Paul to someone else. And he goes on to say, knowing the Holy Scriptures makes you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The first half of verse 15, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, it's almost summing up verse 14. But then he goes on to say why this has been so important in Timothy's life. What a gift Timothy's mum and grandma had given him. They taught him what would have been the Old Testament from a young age. He had grown up hearing it. He had a quality witness from his mother and grandmother, those who taught him, and Paul suggests he would be a fool to forget what they taught him so easily. He then became convinced of it when Paul or someone like him had spoken about Jesus, and something clicked in Timothy's head that the scriptures he'd been brought up with and this Jesus guy were true. And from these scriptures, which the next verse tells us are God-breathed, God-inspired, he has the ability to make a wise decision. The platform that those who had taught him had given him allowed wisdom, which has led to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. However, knowing the scriptures from infancy doesn't bring salvation. Having great Christian examples in your life doesn't bring salvation. Salvation comes from faith in Christ Jesus. He's an accessible God. He offers life of forgiven sin, a life in all its fullness. No matter your upbringing, whether you've had the benefit of teaching from infancy, salvation through Jesus is available to everyone and anyone. I've done a camp during the summer for a few years now. I might have mentioned it before. It's a camp centered in God, but also sport. It's around the same time that our young people and a lot of young people around Scotland would normally go to Soul Survivor. I have a great time at the sports camp, and God works, but I come back and hear the incredible things that God has done through the lives of the young people at Soul Survivor. And wonder why the same impact hasn't happened at the camp I'm doing. And one year, an older leader, he was a leader of a church, said quite wisely that we can't bring salvation to young people. Only God can do that. Our job is to obediently share the good news of Jesus and trust that one day they will make the decision for themselves. This is what Lewis and Eunice did throughout Timothy's life. They made sure the example that they were setting pointed to Jesus. The knowledge of the Bible formed Timothy's understanding of who Jesus was, and he was able to make the wise decision to follow him. He suggests Timothy continue to remain in the writings that he has been taught, which is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that he could continue to make wise decisions that will equip him for every good work. So in summary, Paul says, but as for you, we are to live differently. We are set apart from this world. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Trust what you've been taught. Are you still convinced by it, or is your conviction dwindling? You know from whom you've learned it. I'm very grateful for the upbringing and examples that I've had, but realize not everyone has had that. Find someone you can imitate and try to be someone worth imitating too. Don't underestimate the example your life can have. And made wise for salvation, what a gift, but it's not reliant on a good start. Young Archie Harrison, Mountbatten, Windsor, may have been born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He may receive a better education, live in a bigger house, have a more famous great-grand than you, be further forward in line to the throne, but he is no further forward in line to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that it's not reliant on background, upbringing, Bible knowledge, or anything else. It allows a relationship with you. Thank you that it is all about Jesus. For those of us who have had examples like Timothy did, we thank you for them. Thank you that you've placed them in our lives. And would we all try to live lives that point people to Jesus? We ask these things in your powerful name. Amen.